Every Bible believing Christian should be a Catholic. Let me announce that over this side. Every Bible believing Christian should be a Catholic. You're awake now, aren't you? That was the theme of a lecture I had the privilege to, I was invited to, back in August of this year. Five of us from Faith Bible Fellowship were in attendance, and the actual title of the presentation was Why Every Bible-Believing Christian Should Be Catholic. The presenter was a man by the name of Jerry Matetex, who is a well-known apologist for the traditional Catholic faith. Mr. Matetex gave his testimony of how he started his faith journey at the age of 14. He later attended Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary, which was an evangelical conservative Christian seminary. He received his Master's of Divinity, and he became a pastor in the Presbyterian Church of America, the PCA. He did his doctoral work at Westminster Theological Seminary. And it was at, by the way, that's the top ranked conservative Presbyterian seminary in the world. And while at Westminster, he shared with us he was a vigorous opponent of the Catholic Church. He spent 3 years researching the Catholic faith to save a former seminary classmate from converting to Catholicism. But the more he studied, he felt that the teaching of the Bible best lined up with Catholic theology. And on Easter 1986, he converted to the Catholic faith. He told us, quote, "The Bible converted me to Catholicism." Here's how he describes himself on his website. He has a website. It's known around the world. Quote, "I'm a Catholic, pure and simple, and have been ever since my conversion from Protestantism now 36 years ago by a miracle of God's grace. I love the Catholic faith and wish only to profess it in all its purity and fullness. I love the Catholic Church and wish only and always to be a faithful member of her, since she has repeatedly and solemnly defined as a dogma that there is no salvation outside of her." Did you hear that? What he's saying is, unless you are a Catholic, you ain't saved. He went on, and he spoke for an hour and 50 minutes. And he shared why every Bible-believing Christian should be a Catholic. Then he stopped, and he said, "I'm going to now open the floor to any questions or any comments." And I raised my hand. And for the next hour, we dialogued back and forth about what he spoke of. This morning, I want to share some of what we talked about in that conversation, parts of that conversation, because today is Reformation Sunday. This is the 505th anniversary of the beginning of the Protestant Reformation. It was on October 31st, 1517, that a Catholic priest, a professor of theology, a doctor of theology at the University of Wittenberg, Martin Luther, posted his 95 theses on the Wittenberg door, and the Protestant Reformation was ignited. The teachings that came out of the Reformation are extremely important, especially, listen, in the area of salvation. Of salvation. And they are in direct conflict to Catholic teaching. It's important for us, folks, listen, to have right theology. Because your eternal destiny, eternal life, depends upon it. About what we're going to talk about here this morning, it's important. I said to Mr. Matejtek, you know what? This is important stuff. What we're talking about here is we're talking about getting to heaven. This is a heaven and hell issue. And it's important that we know for our own salvation. Let me say something. Doctrine is important, but you don't get saved by believing in doctrine. Come on. You don't. You don't get saved by believing in right doctrine. You get saved by believing in a person, the person of Jesus Christ, through right doctrine. And right doctrine is important. And you know this is important today because of your salvation and your assurance as a Christian about your salvation. What we're going to speak of, it's important. But it's also important because you have Catholic neighbors. You have Catholic co-workers. You have Catholics maybe in your family. And we need to be able to communicate in a way that they can understand that there's a difference between what the Catholic Church teaches and what Scripture teaches. Now, let me just preface this right now. I love Catholics, and I love Protestants. Most of you. No, I do love, I love you, and I love Catholics. We're not here to bash Catholics. I'm not here to bash Catholics this morning. I'm not. But we need to know what Scripture teaches when it comes to salvation. We need to know it. And we need to align our beliefs with what Scripture teaches. And so we are going to examine today, again, the five cries of the Protestant Reformation and look and see what the Bible says. And look and see what the Catholic Church says. Okay? That's where we're going. Number one, one of the cries of the Protestant Reformation, salvation is by grace alone. Sola gratia. Grace alone. So when we say that, what do we mean? What is grace? Grace, when it comes to salvation, is the unmerited favor of God. The Bible states that we are all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. Every Catholic is a sinner. Every Protestant is a sinner. Every person in the whole world has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And there is nothing we can do to earn favor with God. Nothing. Luther tried everything. He fasted days on end. He would pray. He would go and confess to the priests and ad infinitum to where they would say, man, quit bothering me with all this stuff. He did all that the church said, and yet he found no salvation. There's only one way that a person can be saved, and that is if God would freely provide salvation for us by his grace, totally, listen, totally apart from the human merit. Take your Bible, open them up to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. I just want a couple of verses, and we're going to go, and I just want to look in the Bible. And what does the Bible say? Romans chapter 4. How do we get saved? In Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, what does the scripture say? That's what we want to know, right? Isn't that what we want to know? What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but what is due. But to the one who worketh not, but believeth on him who justifieth the ungodly, to him it is credited as righteousness. Did you see it? Turn over to chapter 11 of Romans. Romans 11, and look at what it says in verse 6. We're talking about grace. What is grace? Romans 11, verse 6 says, but if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. Do you see that? Let me give you an illustration that my wife gave me. My wife, when she worked for a retirement village as a social director, one Thanksgiving, she got an envelope given to her at work. In that envelope was her paycheck. And also in that envelope was a gift card, a $100 gift card from her boss. Her paycheck, she worked for. And that was what she earned. But the gift card from her employer was a gift. And you know what she did? She wrote a thank you note. And in her thank you note, she didn't say, thank you for my paycheck. What a great gift. She didn't do that. She said, thank you for the gift card. Thank you for your gracious gift. You see? If there's any works involved, guess what? It ain't grace anymore. It's not grace. So what does sola gratia mean? It specifically excludes merit done by a person as part of achieving salvation. It means that salvation is a gift apart from human merit that no one would boast. Turn, and I know you know this verse, but turn there anyhow to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Turn there, because I want us to see it. I'll tell you, when you see this, you should jump out of your seat and say, hallelujah. Amen, I know. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. How are we saved? How are we saved? What does the scripture say? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm going to tell you, when we get up to heaven, there's not going to be anyone saying, boy, look what I've done to get here. Do you know, you watch the football games and they get in the end zones and they go. You ain't going to find that in heaven. You're not going to find somebody jumping up in the seat saying, there's no boasting. The only boasting that there will be in Jesus Christ, who finished the work and did all that we needed for salvation. And it's by grace that we're saved. It's by grace that we are saved. He did all the work. The work is done. And now God offers salvation to us as a gift. Wow. Oh, wow. Eternal life. Put it down. Put the verse down. We won't look. Romans 6:23. You know the verse. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. The gift of God. You see, sola gratia says it's a gift. A favorite verse of Martin Luther was Ephesians 1:7 that says in 1:7, in him, in Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, listen, according to the riches of his grace. That's what sola gratia says. It's all of grace. And there's, you remember the acrostic, you know it, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. We get God's riches. And Jesus paid it all. That's sola gratia. What does the Catholic Church teach? Mr. Matejtek said this, quote, both Protestants and Catholics agree on sola gratia. God has got to begin the work. But that's misleading. And I think he got to know that's misleading. Because what the Reformers believed about sola gratia and what the Catholic Church teaches about sola gratia are two different things. Two different things. You see, the Catholic Church, the traditional Catholic Church, would say it has to begin with the grace of God. No one would get saved apart from God's grace, and that's true. And initial grace comes at baptism. That's why they baptize their babies, because they want them to have the grace of salvation. But then they teach additional grace comes by keeping the sacraments. Are you familiar with the seven sacraments of the Catholic Church? Baptism, confirmation, the Eucharist or taking the Mass. There's the penance or confession to a priest, marriage, the sacrament of holy orders, which is the ordination of the priest, and then there's a sacrament of extreme unction, or the last rites, or praying for the sick. And what the Catholic Church teaches is through the seven sacraments. The seven sacraments contain and confer grace. That's what's taught, okay? They contain grace and they confer grace. And as you do these things, you receive grace so that now you can go out and, listen, merit salvation. Ooh, do you see the difference? Merit salvation. Now, Mr. Matejtek, I'm going to call him Mr. M. Mr. M, kind of put this on us. He said, you Protestants reject the Catholic Church because you don't know what the Catholic Church teaches. You have heard all that you know from Protestant preachers, and so you don't know what we believe. But when I left that night, he gave me a book on the Council of Trent, which is the official traditional Catholic view. The Council of Trent in 1545 was the Catholic answer to the Protestant Reformation. And so he gave me that book. So I want to read from the book what they say about salvation. Council of Trent, 6th session, concerning justification, chapter 16, entitled Fruits of Justification. That is the merit of good works and the nature of that merit. Quote, hence to those who work well unto the end and trust in God, eternal life is to be offered, both as a grace mercifully promised to the sons of God through Christ Jesus, and as a reward promised by God himself to be faithfully given to their, listen, good works and merits. Do you see what they teach? You have to do these sacraments. And through the sacraments, God gives you grace so you can work and merit your salvation. And Luther cried out, no! You can't merit salvation. You can't merit. You can't earn God's grace. I tried it, he said. It doesn't work. Sola gratia. Grace alone. You know, there are many people today that are trying to earn heaven. There's many people that are trying to work their way to God, trying to get God's favor by what they do. Catholics are trying to do that. Let me say something. So a lot of Protestants are trying to do that. It's not just Catholics. There are Protestants trying to work their way to heaven. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing you can do to deserve heaven, to earn heaven, to merit heaven. There's nothing you can do. Nothing I can do to merit heaven. I can't. And just think of this. If you had to do something to merit heaven, you could never have assurance of salvation. Because how could you ever know if you did enough, right? How do I know? And that's what basically, that's what the Catholic Church teaches. You can never know for sure whether you're going to go to heaven. Did you know that? In fact, in that book on the Council of Trent, there is, they say, if anybody says that you can have assurance of where you're going to go when you die, may they be anathema. You know what that means? Damned to hell. And actually, at the end of the justification, the section on justification, they pronounce 33 anathemas, and 27 of them apply to me. But you know what the Bible says? I write you these things in order who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. God doesn't want us to guess. God doesn't want you to guess about salvation. He wants you to know. And the only way we can know is if salvation is sola gratia, by grace alone. You see, salvation and forgiveness of sins cannot be purchased, earned, or merited. Salvation is a free gift to be received. Have you received the gift? That was big in my wife's life because she was raised in the Catholic Church. She never realized that salvation was a gift of God. Really, about till the day she accepted Christ and realized it was a gift. It was a gift of God. If you haven't received that gift, receive it today. Receive it today. And if you have, you should be shouting, hallelujah! Praise the Lord that I have a gift of eternal life. A relationship with God that begins the moment you believe and will not end throughout all of eternity. What a gift! Somebody says, well, if it's a gift, Pastor, how do you receive it? Glad you asked. Second cry of the Protestant Reformation was justification by faith alone. Sola fide. Faith alone. The question was, how can a sinful man ever be right before a holy God? How could we ever be right in the sight of a holy God? The cry of the Reformation was, sola fide, by faith alone. Now again, what we have to ask the question, what is biblical faith? What is biblical faith? Biblical faith is more than just saying that you believe something. It's more than just even giving intellectual assent to something, to some doctrine or some creed. Biblical faith is putting your trust in what the Bible says. Putting your trust in. It's taking God at His word. I thought of a little illustration of this. You know, someone might say, I believe in the laws of aerodynamics. You know, I when I was in school, mechanical engineering, I took aerodynamics. I almost went to work for a company. I was offered a job in aerodynamics. And I know all the principles there, and I believe in them. That's not faith. What faith is going to the airport, getting on a plane, and strapping yourself in and letting it take off. I don't know, some of you have told me, I'm afraid of flying. I remember there were times, this is back a long time ago, that I'd get on a plane and strap myself in, and then I'd pray, Lord, I'm in your hands. Like I ever left his hands, right? I'm in your hands. You gotta get it. But when you strap yourself in, let that plane take off, you have faith in the laws of aerodynamics. And do you know what? A person can say they believe in Jesus Christ. A person can know intellectually that he died on the cross, rose from the dead. They can even go to seminary and get all kinds of doctoral degrees. And that doesn't mean you're saved. You can grow up in a church or a Christian family. Doesn't mean you're saved. You can know it all. But what you need, what we need to do, we need to put our trust in Jesus as our Savior. Put our trust in what He did. He just didn't die on the cross. He died on the cross for me. He died on the cross for you. He did. And we need to put our trust in Him and His finished work. That's what will save you. Biblical faith, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust Him. That's faith. You know what? It's putting all your eggs in that basket. Spiritual basket. And I'm going to tell you, if that doesn't save you, I'm going to be lost forever. I am putting all my trust in Jesus and in His work on Calvary. That's biblical faith. Sola fide means that it is by faith alone that we receive salvation and are justified. What does that mean? Somebody, they used to say justified means just as if I'd never sinned. Ooh, that sounds pretty good, huh? When you receive Christ, just as if I'd never sinned, I got better news for you. It means more than that. When we receive Christ, it's not like we're just like I've never sinned. Christ takes His righteousness and credits it to my account. So now I'm not just like I never sinned. I am righteous in Christ. Listen to this. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him who justifieth the ungodly, to him it is credited as righteousness. Wow. And when God does that, he puts Christ's righteousness to my account. Then he says, you know what he does? He proclaims us or declares us righteous. Because justification is a term of the courtroom. It's a forensic term. It is a term of declaration. It's to declare someone righteous. And that's what God has done. Having been justified by faith, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord. Now, what does the Catholic Church teach? The Catholic Church teaches that it is by faith plus works. Faith plus works that a man can come into right standing with God. Mr. Matetex is in referring to the Romans verses states, Paul was not saying, quote, Paul was not saying you don't need to be baptized and you don't need to keep the moral law to be saved. Then he said that was Luther's fantasy. Luther's fantasy, quote, he said, is I don't have to do anything for salvation. I can do nothing and it does not affect anything. He said, that's Luther's fantasy. He continued, at one time I believed that justification had nothing to do with me, but it does. Protestants believe righteousness is imputed to the believer at conversion, but I maintain that righteousness and holiness are interchangeable. I believe that being justified and being sanctified are one and the same thing. Did you hear that? And in other words, justification is a process. It's a process for the Catholic. He went on to say, nowhere did Jesus or Paul ever say that it is by faith alone that we're saved. The phrase faith alone, listen to this, listen to what he said. The phrase faith alone is only found in one time in the Bible, and that is in James 2:24, which reads, listen to this. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Oh my! Does James 2:24 really say that? It does. What do we say to this I would say attack? Is he right when it says it? The phrase faith alone never occurs any other place? Paul never uses that? Yeah. But listen, scores of time in Scripture, it gives one requirement for salvation, and that is faith. John 6:47. In Jesus' Bread of Life discourse, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me has eternal life. There's only one thing, believe in me. When the Philippian jailer came and fell down at Paul's feet and said, what must I do to be saved? What did he say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. One, believe, faith. Paul says he says it's not by works of the law, but by faith in Christ Jesus. He adds nothing to it. So no, it doesn't say faith alone, but the faith is there alone over and over again. But what about this thing in James? You know, Luther had a problem with James. Did you know that? Called it the straw epistle. Said it shouldn't be in the canon. Wanted to get rid of it. Is James in conflict with Paul? No! What's James saying? You see, James and Paul were fighting two different battles. James was fighting easy believism. That's why he says, if a man says he has faith and has no works, will that faith save him? What's the answer to that? No, it won't! Because it's not biblical faith. You can say all that you want that you, oh, I believe. That doesn't necessarily mean you're saved. You see, because it could be easy believing. Is faith without works dead? Is it? Yeah, it is. Because it's not biblical faith. Biblical faith will show itself in good works. It's not faith plus works that saves a person, but it is a faith that works. Come on. It's true. Paul, on the other hand, when he says it's not by works of righteousness, but by faith, he's fighting the works righteousness battle. And he says, you don't get works in there. It's apart from works of the law that we are saved. So they're not contradicting each other. Still today, the doctrine of justification by faith alone distinguishes evangelical Christianity from the Catholic Church. This is a fundamental doctrine of the faith. Luther put it this way. He said, this one and firm rock, which is called doctrine of justification, is the chief article of the whole Christian doctrine, which corresponds and the understanding of all godliness. He called it the article of standing or falling of the church. If this article of justification by faith alone stands, the church stands. If it falls, the church falls. So where do good works come in? You know, I've had Catholics ask me, but what about good works? Shouldn't we do good works? Or good works are the fruit, not the root. Right? Salvation is the root. Good works are the fruit of salvation. It was John Calvin that said it this way. It's faith alone that saves you. But faith that justifies is never alone. It's never alone. The second cry of the Reformation was sola fide, faith alone. And so I ask, listen, have you been justified by faith? Have you been justified by faith? Have you received the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Listen, put this verse down. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But it's by his doing that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become to us the wisdom of God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I'm talking with Mr. Matatex, and I said, Jerry, have you received the righteousness of Jesus Christ? And he said, yes, I have. Then I asked him this question. Is it sufficient? Oh, is it sufficient? And he paused. And then he said, yes. Case closed. Case closed. Justification is by faith alone. Sola fide. Third cry of the Reformation was salvation in Christ alone. Solus Christus. Solus Christus. What this means, only faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work on Calvary can bring salvation. Faith in a church, in a denomination, cannot save you. Faith in the Catholic Church can't save you. Faith in Faith Bible Fellowship can't save you. No pastor, no priest, no pope can save anybody. Neither can the saints save you. Mary can't save you. Baptism can't save you. Faith in ordinances, faith in sacraments can't save you. C.H. Spurgeon, great Baptist preacher, he was reformed in theology, said, quote, the sole object of our faith is Jesus Christ and his atoning work on the cross. In a sermon he preached May 1890, he stated, quote, both feet must be on the rock of ages. Both feet. It's only by faith in Jesus alone that can save a person and bring them eternal life. Only faith in Jesus can save anybody. Now, just a couple of verses, I'll give them to you. You know them, but Acts 4:12, right? Put that down, Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Must be saved. And then somebody says, that's narrow. That's narrow. You're saying it's only in Jesus? People, we're just reporting what Jesus said, right? We're not making this stuff up. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's it. It's in Jesus that we're saved. He's the only way. Now, either that's true or it's false, right? And if it's false, then Jesus lied, and he's no Savior at all. But Jesus didn't lie. He said he was the only way. And I'm one of his followers, you know, and I believe him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. What does the Catholic Church teach? Mr. Matetex didn't even address this point because I am sure he would say that the Catholic Church, at least the traditional Catholic Church, would agree with Solus Christus. And they would affirm that it's only through Christ that a person can be saved. But in actuality, the teaching is that Christ makes the way. It's only through the cross that a person can be saved. But then you have to cooperate. You have to cooperate, and you have to cooperate with God and work for your salvation. Listen, making you a co-savior. A co-savior with Jesus. You see? Jeremy talked about the book that we have available. And if you'd, I'll tell you, it's a great book to understand what Catholics and Protestants teach. Nothing in my hand I bring. You know where that comes from, right? The song, nothing in my hand I bring, only to thy cross I cling. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. It's only through Christ. It's not me in Christ. It's not you in Christ. It's Christ alone who is the Savior. The importance of this faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work on Calvary, only way to get to God. Only way to go to heaven. And if there's any other way, then Christ died needlessly on the cross. Galatians 2:21, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Those are cries of the Reformation. But then there's a fourth cry. Authority is in Scripture alone. Sola Scriptura. Sola Scriptura. Where do all these teachings come from? Sola gratia, sola fide, solus Christus. These are radical ideas, and Luther and we find them taught in the Word of God. It is through the study of Scripture that the Reformation was put in motion. The study of Scripture. Sola Scriptura asserts that the Bible alone is the source of God's revelation. It contains the law, the gospel, the principles of how we live, worship, think, and are saved. This was the basis of the beliefs of the Reformation. The authority is in the Bible alone. Luther said the authority doesn't lie in the church councils or in the ecclesiastical statements or the traditions of the church or even the Pope, for he had seen popes and councils contradict themselves. The authority lies in the Bible alone. Bible alone. What does the Catholic Church teach? Mr. M. stated that both Protestants and Catholics agree that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God, but, he said, the Bible refutes the concept of sola scriptura. Catholics believe that not only the 66 books of the Bible are canonical, but also accept the Apocrypha. That is 7 to 14 additional books that they have in their Catholic Bible. And they accept oral tradition of the church fathers as equal in authority to the Bible. What about the Apocrypha? Is the Apocrypha part of the Bible and we're just missing it out of our Bibles? Well, first of all, the Jews never accepted the Apocrypha as a part of canonical scripture. And in fact, in AD 90, at the Council of Jamnia, they made that official. They said, that is not a part of the Hebrew scriptures. Jesus Christ and the apostles never quoted out of the Apocrypha. Never. Also, the early church believed that the writings of the church fathers were on the level of scripture. If they believed that, why did they not include them in the canon of scripture confirmed by the church? That's something to ask. Why didn't they include the traditions of the fathers in canonical scripture? They didn't. Many of the wrong doctrines of the Catholic Church are found or taken from the Apocrypha, such as purgatory, prayers to the dead, calling on saints for prayer. They are not taught in the 66 books of the Bible. They're taught in the Apocrypha. Where is our authority today? Tell you what, the authority today is in this book. It's in the written word of God. In the written word of God, sola scriptura. How do we know if something's true or false? We line it up with this book. We line it up with the book. And if it doesn't line up with this book, it ain't true. It's not true. I've said this. Let me just say this. Because I preach something, just don't say, oh, Pastor Les preached it. It must be true. You look in this book. And if Pastor Les, or I don't think Pastor Jeremy would ever have this problem, but if Pastor Jeremy or Pastor Tyree ever preaches something doesn't line up with this book, don't believe it. Because this book is where the authority lies. It's in sola scriptura. Scripture alone is our authority. No pope, no pastor, no priest. Sola scriptura. This is where we find our truth. We need, what does that say to us? We need to be reading our book. We need to be reading this book. We need to be taking this book in. We need to be saturated with the truth of the Word of God so we can discern truth and error. I'll tell you, as one brother here in the church told me, we need to stay on Route 66. We need to stay on Route 66. We don't want to get off on Broad Street or on Main Street. We stay with the 39 books of the Old Testament, 27 books of the New Testament. We stay on Route 66, and we're going to be fine. Because Scripture. Sola Scriptura. Authority lies in Scripture alone. Well, if we're saved by grace, and it's not by what we do, our works, and we're justified through faith apart from works of the law, and we're justified by what Christ has done, completely by what he did on the cross and rising from the dead, and if it's through Scripture alone, if it's sola gratia, sola fide, if it's solus Christus and sola scriptura, then guess who gets the glory? Right? The fifth cry. The fifth cry of the Reformation is all glory belongs to God alone. God alone. Sole Deo gloria. You see, it's none of us. It's all of him. I don't get the glory. He gets the glory. And he deserves it. He deserves it. Because he did it all. Well, when I was leaving that night, after we had had our dialogue for an hour, I was going out, he handed me the book. He said, I want you to read this book. This will tell you what Catholics believe. On the Council, Doctrines and Councils of the Council of Trent. I have it in my office. I haven't read it all, but I've read a lot of sections. I've been anathemaed a whole bunch of times. But Mr. Matetex said this to me. I've been where you are. I've been where you are. And you know what he was intimating, what he was implying? I've been where you are and I've seen the light. You need to see the light. But I've contacted him online. But I'd like to say to him, Jerry, Matetex, you've never been where I am. You haven't been where I am. Because if you had been where I am, you would have never left. You went out from us, but you were never really of us. And you went out from us that we might know that you were never of us. You need, and my sincere desire is that you would come to true faith in Jesus Christ and be saved. That's my desire for every Catholic, for every Protestant, for every person in this whole world. Because salvation is by grace alone. Justification is by faith alone. Salvation is in Christ alone. And we know it all because the authority is in the Bible alone. And to God be the glory alone. Amen. Amen. Praise you, Lord. God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for saving our souls. And Lord, you deserve all the glory. And Lord, maybe, Lord, I know you're here. And Lord, you're seeking the lost. And if there's anyone here, Lord, that needs to take the gift today, would you help them to just reach out and say, Lord, I believe in you. With your help, I'm turning from my sin, I'm turning to you, and I'm putting my faith, my total trust in you. Thank you for dying for me on the cross and rising from the dead. And Lord, I believe, come into my heart, save my soul, make me the kind of person you want me to be. I give you my life today. Lord, help any person that needs Jesus to pray a prayer like that and to receive you today. Lord, if there's anyone here that maybe they're saved, but they still get those works in there and trying to earn God's salvation, I pray that you would help them to confess that and to really gain full assurance of eternal life. Lord, help them to do that today. And Lord, help us to have a burden for the lost. All around us, Lord, that people need Jesus. Give me a Jesus heart and not a Jonah heart. Lord, thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.